We're turning tonight in the Scriptures of Truth to the Gospel according to Luke. Luke's Gospel, chapter 21. And last night we took a little time to consider the corresponding passage in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 24. And tonight I want us to come into Luke's account. And the disciples are asking the Lord, what will be the sign of His coming? And the Lord has given them the indications that will signal His near return. Luke's Gospel, chapter 21. And we'll read from verse 5. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? Verse number 20. The Lord Jesus says, and when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable, behold the fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Amen. We'll end the reading at that verse, and we know the Lord will bless the reading of His own inspired word for His name's sake. Shall we bow together and seek the Lord's blessing upon His word tonight? Father, we pray Thy blessing upon the preaching of Thy word. And as we take time to meditate in Thy precious word, we pray, Lord, that faith will come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We remember those words that are written concerning that great moment when Thy Son was transfigured, and Thou didst speak from heaven and say, this is my beloved Son, hear ye Him. We pray tonight, Father, that we may have ears to hear, and that we may receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save our souls. Lord, give us faith tonight in the word of God, and grant, Lord, that our understanding shall be enlightened, and that we shall be led in the right way, in the way of God's salvation, in that way that will fit us and prepare us for for the coming of the Lord. Bless thy word to each heart, and grant tonight, Lord, that we shall know of a truth that the Lord has been in the midst, and that we have spent time at the feet of our Saviour, listening to his voice. This we ask in his name and for his sake. Amen. Now the subject of this week of meetings is the signs of the Lord's return, the great events that will signal the near return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The coming of the Lord is absolutely sure. We made the point yesterday that Dr. A.J. Gordon gathered together all the texts in the New Testament that relate to the coming of the Lord, and he discovered that one in every 25 verses made reference to that great truth that Jesus Christ is coming again. Here in this chapter, the Lord is setting out the signs, those events that will and must come to pass before he will return. Last evening, we took a little time to look at what the Lord said in his opening remarks. You look there at verse number 10. He said unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. Great earthquakes, great natural calamities, natural disasters. The Lord has said that these things will escalate as the time draws near when he shall come again to this earth. And surely as we look around us tonight, when we contemplate the events that we see almost on a regular basis on the news program, surely it is reinforcing the fact that what the Lord said here is coming to pass. Great natural disasters will escalate, and there will be great perplexity among men, among the nations of men, great turmoil, great commotion, all pointing to the fact that the Lord's return is not far away. Now tonight I want us to come to another sign that the Lord gave to his disciples. You'll find it summarized there in verse number 32. The Lord says, verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. This generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. What is the Lord saying here to us? Well, if I can take the word that's translated generation, if I take the way in which it's translated in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 15, if I take that translation and bring it into this text, I think it will throw a little bit more light upon the understanding of what the Lord is saying. There in Philippians, the word is translated not as generation, but as nation. And if we bring that into this text, it reads like this: this nation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. This nation, who is the Lord speaking of here in this text? Well, the background, the context makes it absolutely clear. The Lord is focusing upon the city of Jerusalem and the people of Israel. You see that in verse number 20 of this chapter. When ye shall see Jerusalem, when ye shall see Jerusalem, a literal place, a literal city. And then in verse number 23, the very last part of that verse, wrath upon this people. The Lord is singling out the nation of Israel. And he is saying to his disciples that the nation of Israel and the events that will befall the nation of Israel will be a sign as to the near return of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the Lord is saying to his disciples, keep your eye on the nation of Israel. This nation shall not pass away until all is fulfilled. This nation. And the Lord has not only directed us to great natural disasters and calamities that will escalate, the Lord has also given to us the nation of Israel and the events that will befall the nation of Israel as a sign that will herald His near return. To understand the significance of Israel in these prophetic signs, we've got to recognize the unique position that Israel holds in the history of Scripture and in the history of God's purpose. If you turn back to Genesis chapter 12, you'll discover and come to that time when the Lord set apart Abraham. He called Abraham, He chose Abraham, and He gave to Abraham a tremendous promise that from Abraham would arise a great nation, and God would take that nation into covenant relationship with Himself. Genesis 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. All families. And elsewhere in the book of Genesis, when this promise is given to other occasions from this one, the word nation is used. All nations of the earth shall be blessed. God has singled out Abraham, and God told Abraham that a great nation would arise from his loins, and through the line of Abraham, blessing would come that would reach to the furthest parts of the earth, to all nations and all families of mankind. Genesis chapter 17, let's go a little bit further in the unfolding of God's purpose. Genesis 17 and verse 7. God is speaking to Abram and He says, there in verse number 5, a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. God has taken the nation of Israel, which has sprang from the loins of Abraham. God has taken that nation into covenant relationship with Himself, and included in that covenant was the promise to give to them the land of Canaan. When we come to Exodus chapter 19, some 430 years afterwards, Abraham is long dead and his family has increased, it has multiplied into a great nation. They were in slavery in Egypt, and now God has brought them out, and they're assembled beneath the shadow of Mount Sinai. And God takes the nation of Israel into covenant union, covenant relationship with Himself. Verse 3 of Exodus 19, God said to Moses, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you in eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. God took the nation into union, covenant relationship with Himself. And they will stand in a privileged, unique position above all the other nations in the world. God has taken Israel as his firstborn. And the reason for that is set forth in the promise that God gave to Abraham, "In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." In other words, from the line of Abraham, according to the flesh, there would come one who would be the seed of Abraham, the offspring of Abraham, who would bring blessing to all the families and all the nations right across this earth. The blessing of salvation. It is, of course, the promise of the Savior. And from the line of Abraham will come the Savior, the Messiah, the Son of God, God incarnate in flesh, who will reverse the curse of a broken law, and who will bring the blessing of redemption and salvation to all who believe in Christ. And God has singled out the nation of Israel and set them in this unique position. From their line will come the Savior. And he has given to Israel that special responsibility as a kingdom of priests to bear the message of the gospel and to declare that message to all the nations of the world. Paul the Apostle, when he wrote to the church in the city of Rome, in Romans chapter 3, he asks the question, what advantage has a Jew? Is there any advantage in being born in the line of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? Is there any advantage to being born as a Jew? And he answers the question very clearly in the verse number 1 of Romans 3. What advantage then of the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? And he answers and he says, much every way. On every side, the Jew is advantaged and benefited. Why? Chiefly, because that unto them were committed the oracles of God, the very words that God himself spoke. The message, the revelation of the gospel was committed to the Jewish nation. God took them into union with himself as a kingdom of priests. And God gave to them the responsibility and the privilege of bearing the gospel. Every prophet that has received the revelation of God's truth, every apostle has been born within the family of the nation of Israel, the kingdom of priests. Much every way unto them are committed the oracles of God, and God has commissioned them and commanded them to take the message of the gospel to the world. This people Christ is speaking about, there is something about this nation that you must focus on that will signal his near return. And yet when we come to Luke's gospel, chapter 21, we do not read there of a nation that is taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, but rather of a nation that is being scattered. Did you notice the solemn words which the Lord Jesus utters in this passage in Luke's gospel? He talks about Jerusalem being surrounded by armies. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is near. Let them that in Judea flee, for these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Verse 24, they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. The Lord is saying, I'm giving you signs that will herald my near return, the time when I shall come again. And one of those signs has to do with the nation of Israel. This favored nation, this privileged nation, this nation set on high above all the other nations of the world. The Lord Jesus says, something will happen to them first. Their capital city will be surrounded and invaded.
and plundered, and many shall be slaughtered, and those who survive shall be dispersed among the nations of the earth, and Jerusalem will be trodden down by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. I want you to notice verse 22. The Lord says of this great calamity that will befall the children of Israel, that these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. He wasn't speaking of something that had been unheard of. He was referring to something that had been written many hundreds of years previously. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, when the law was given the second time to a new generation of Israelites about to enter into the land of promise, that law was reiterated to them, and God said He would bless them. But if they would turn away from Him, if they would forsake His law, then God would cause them to be scattered among all the nations of the earth. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and the verse number 49. Notice how detailed the description is. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, but shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favour to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land until thou be destroyed. Verse number 64. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from the one end of the earth even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind, and thy life shall hang in doubt before thee. The Lord says, what was written in the book of Deuteronomy will come to pass. Jerusalem will be surrounded, invaded, destroyed, and many will be slaughtered. And this people will be scattered, dispersed among all the nations of the earth. It wasn't long after this that these very words were fulfilled. In AD 70, the Roman army, and incidentally, the symbol of the Roman Empire and the Roman army was the eagle. And God said in the days of Moses, as swift as the eagle flieth, so shall this nation come. The Roman army surrounded the city of Jerusalem, besieged the city for many days, many months. There was famine in the city, pestilence broke out, starvation set in, many died. And eventually the Romans invaded the city and slaughtered thousands, destroyed the temple, burnt it to the ground. It is reported that no less than 1,100,000 people died in the invasion of Jerusalem. And those who survived that terrible massacre were taken captive and dispersed among the nations of the world. And ever since that time, for almost 1900 years, this people, this nation, has been dispersed and scattered among the nations of the earth, just as the Lord said. If you turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verse number 43. We have these tremendous, remarkable, startling words. Verse 41, when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. It's the scene of a weeping Savior. As he nears Jerusalem, knowing that within a short time he will be nailed to a cross of shame, despised and rejected by his own. And as he sees that city, his heart is broken, and he weeps over the city. He did not weep for himself. Yes, the women would weep as he would carry his cross through the streets to the hillside of Golgotha. And he would say, "Weep not for me." He wasn't weeping for himself and the sufferings that would befall him. He was weeping for that people. That's it. He said in verse 42, "If thou hast known even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." God incarnate had visited them, Emmanuel, God with us. And they knew not that it was the Lord of glory. And because they rejected him, that vengeance fell upon that city. And as the Lord said, they were dispersed into all the nations of the earth. But when we come to verse number 32 of our chapter, the Lord says there is something you must see, not only this unique position of Israel, and not only their scattering among all the nations, but I want you to notice also their preservation. "For this nation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled." This nation shall not pass away. For all that will befall them, for all the trouble and all the persecution that will come against them and the vengeance that will fall upon them, Israel as a nation shall not pass away. We read there in Deuteronomy of the days of dispersal and scattering. And God said, "Among these nations thou shalt find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. You'll have a trembling heart, failing of eye, sorrow of life, and thy life shall hang in doubt before thee." That has been the history of the people of Israel, the Jewish nation, ever since Jerusalem was destroyed by the Roman army. All down through the centuries. No rest, no peace, trouble, sorrow, their life hanging in doubt. In the second century, there was a great uprising against the Jews that led to them being expelled from Cyprus. In the fifth century, they were expelled from Alexandria. In the seventh century, they were expelled from Germany. When the first of the Crusades was held, Peter the Hermit massacred the Jews on his way to Jerusalem. The Black Plague in Germany was blamed on the Jews. In the 12th century, 1,500 Jews perished in the city of York. And in the 13th century, they were banished from England until Cromwell lifted that ban during his protectorate. They find a little shelter in France. But eventually, in France, the monks rose up against them. They were banished in the 14th century. And the same happened in Spain and in Russia. And when we come into the previous century, how vivid the pictures still are of the trouble and the anguish and the agitation that befell the Jews in the time of Nazi Germany. They found no rest. Their life hanging in doubt. And yet God said, for all their trouble, this nation shall not pass away.
they will be preserved. Jeremiah chapter 31 tells us, God says, look up into the skies and see the sun and the moon and the stars, those ordinances that I have set. And if those shall pass away in this age, then Israel will cease as a nation. Jeremiah 31 and verse number 35, thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea, when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. God is saying Israel will continue as a nation as long as the sun is in the heavens and the stars twinkle at night and the moon is seen. As long as those ordinances continue, Israel will continue. This nation will not pass away. And the interesting thing is this, when you turn to Ezekiel chapter 20, and God speaks there about the dispersing of the nation. In Ezekiel 20 and verse 32, the Lord says, and that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all, that ye say, we will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries, to serve wood and stone. God is saying, when you're dispersed, you will think to yourselves, we will become just like the heathen. We will blend in with them. And God says, that which you think shall not come to pass. In other words, Israel will not lose their distinctiveness as a nation. And hasn't that been the case? Wherever they have gone, oh yes, they may be Russian Jews, they may have been Polish Jews, they may have been Greek Jews, they may have been American Jews, but they have always retained their identity. They have not blended in with the nations. And God says they will continue. This generation, this nation will not pass. Because something is going to happen to them. In Luke 21 and verse 24, Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. This desolation of the city and the dispersing of the people, the scattering among all the nations, will have an appointed time. After which, the scriptural prophecy regarding Israel will be fulfilled as a sign of the Lord's near return. Look at Isaiah chapter 11 tonight. And there's a tremendous, most interesting statement that's made in this chapter. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse number 11 says, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people which shall be left from Assyria, and from Egypt, and from Pathros, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. Notice that little phrase, the second time. Isaiah lived before Jeremiah. Isaiah lived before the Babylonian invasion of Jerusalem that took the Jews into Babylonish captivity for 70 years, after which God stretched out his hand and he brought them back into the land. Isaiah lived before that. And God said to Isaiah, I'm going to stretch out my hand the second time, and I'm going to recover the remnant of Israel from all the nations that they have been scattered. God was looking beyond the Babylonish captivity and the restoration from that captivity. He was looking on to what would take place in AD 70 and the dispersing of the Jews. And God said, I'll stretch out and I'll bring them again. I will recover them the second time. Look at Amos, the little book of Amos. and you follow this thread of prophetic teaching through the Bible, the last chapter of the book of Amos, chapter 9, in verse number 14, it is speaking about that second restoration to the land after captivity. And verse 14 says, I will bring in the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them, and I will plant them upon their land. And listen to this. They shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord. When they came back from Babylon, they would be pulled up again and dispersed in AD 70. But God is speaking not of the Babylonian restoration. He's speaking of the restoration after AD 70. And he says, I will bring them again, and I will plant them in their land. It's their land. And they will no more be pulled up out of their land. Go back to Jeremiah chapter 30 and you'll find out when this will happen. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse number 3. For lo, the day is come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. When will this happen? Come right down to verse 24. And there, when you read verse 23, you discover there a reference to the coming of the Lord. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he hath done it, until he hath performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days, ye shall consider it. The latter days. The word latter there means the end of the days. The last of the days. And this restoration of the Jews scattered throughout all the nations will take place at the end of the days, the last days. And the Lord will bring them again into their land and plant them, and they will build their towns and villages, and they'll not be plucked up again. But why will he do this? Turn to Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20. And the Lord says in verse number 33, as I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out will I rule over you, and I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries wherein you are scattered. With a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. You see, Israel will be brought back into the land, still under judgment. Not restored to the Lord. Yes, restored to their land, but not yet restored to the Lord. Look at verse 35. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you. Face to face. The Lord will bring Israel back into his land in preparation for his return. And when he returns, they shall see him face to face. And when you turn over to Revelation chapter 1, you will find this interesting little statement concerning the coming of the Lord. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him,
and they also which pierce him.
He will bring them back into their land in preparation for his return, and he will plead with them face to face. They that pierce him shall see him. The time has gone tonight, but we will take up this tomorrow evening, and we will look at this in light of the Gentile nations and what will take place among the Gentile nations in relation to a restored Israel in their land, because that's a sign of the Lord's return. But surely tonight, as we have considered these verses, we have witnessed prophecy fulfilled before our very eyes. Israel, Jerusalem destroyed, Israel scattered. No rest wherever they have gone, and yet they have not ceased to exist as a nation. They have retained their identity, their distinctiveness, and God said he would bring them again into the land in preparation for his return. The Lord said, this nation shall not pass. This is a sign. Keep your eye on Israel, because what happens to Israel will be a sign as to the nearness of the Lord's return. And they shall see him face to face, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. He's coming back, and his coming is not far away. You've only got to look at what's happened to Israel to know that it's near. And every day brings us nearer to the coming of the Lord, when we shall see him face to face. And on that day we will either meet him as our judge, or we will meet him as our Savior. I trust tonight that for each one of us in this meeting, when we see him on that day face to face, it will be a glorious day. It will be a day of rejoicing. It will be the day when we see our Savior. Trust him tonight. Be washed in his precious blood. And then you'll be ready to meet the Lord face to face. We'll close tonight by turning in our hymn book to 598. 598. What a great hymn this is. Face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face, what will it be when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. 598, he's brought the Jews again into their land in preparation for his return. He will plead with them face to face when we shall see him. All who trust in him shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 598, we'll stand together as we sing. And let's sing this as unto the Lord.